Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text today is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, the theme for our service today is a return to prayer. And so it's appropriate that the disciples would give us an example of ourselves falling asleep as they were to keep watch and to pray. But Jesus shows us, and it's not the only place we find it in Scripture, that God has an invitation to us to pray. And it's even a requirement to pray if we are to love our relationship with God. I will say prayer is kind of a sensitive topic. It's more than likely that not many of us are very good at prayer. So whenever we talk about it, we like to just quickly hit it and then move on, right? It pricks your conscience because you know that you ought to pray more than you do. And you'd really like to say more to God and about God than just another request of asking for stuff. We seem to have the best of intentions when it comes to prayer. We want to be like Paul and follow his command when he tells us to pray without ceasing. But our best intentions are never enough. It's a good bet that, even if you are better than most, your prayer life doesn't measure up to God's word. And I can confidently assert that whatever your prayer life is, it's not what you want it to be. So I get it. We talk about prayer and you get uncomfortable. What I will say, though, is that God calls you to pray, but he doesn't leave it all up to you. He gives you the means to do so, and he even fulfills your prayers when you cannot. We heard in our Old Testament lesson of Jacob returning back to Canaan after having lived with his father-in-law for many years. And Jacob's big fear now is Esau, his brother. How Esau will react when he sees this man who stole everything from him. He's nervous, scared, doesn't know what's going to happen. And so he split everything up into two camps, hoping that at least one group will be spared if Esau discovers them. But that night, a man comes and wrestles with Jacob. It's one of the strangest encounters of God anywhere in the Holy Scriptures, especially considering that Jacob has him on the ropes just as often as God did. And this isn't just God, this is in reality the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the one who in 1800 years will come and take on human flesh. He will be called Jesus. Jacob wrestles with the Son all night long, and it is very strange. But one thing we can take from it is that which God puts us through isn't meant to destroy us, but to build us up, to test us, to bless us. We can see, too, that our prayers may be seen through this event, that we wrestle with God in our prayers, asking him for what we think that we need, looking for his direction and his guidance and groaning to him under the weight of the world, under the weight of our trials and tribulations. And just as Jacob was changed, having seen God and not dying, we are changed. God comes to us through his word in our prayers. And if we wrestle with him, if we consider him and what he's given us, he works through the power of his Holy Spirit to change us, to reorient us, our perspectives and our perceptions. In fact, if we are to be like Jacob, we may even challenge God. As he told God he wouldn't stop until God blessed him, so may we tell God that we won't stop praying either until God answers. But the problem is that we don't head into prayer thinking that we're going to wrestle with God, thinking that this may take hours. We want it to be over quickly. I know, for instance, that when my kids are being super annoying some nights, I'm tempted to rush through their evening prayers just to be done with them. I know sometimes people out in the congregation are, well, they get a little frustrated with some of the longer prayers here in the church. But those are moments where we need to slow down, when we need to consider the words that we're praying, and we need to lead God to our hearts, that He would change us and make us more like Jesus. But so often I get lost in myself. Sometimes I don't even know the words to pray, what words to use. Should I try to be eloquent? Should I try to go in depth? After all, doesn't God know my heart? I think we're all a lot more like the disciples than we are like Jacob. They fell asleep when they should have been praying. They missed what they were supposed to be doing because they gave in too much to the things of this world. Can you identify with them tonight? Have you fallen asleep when you should have been talking to God? At least you didn't have Jesus wake you up and be right there and remind you of how you've failed. Still, we know that we don't measure up. Paul actually gives us the answer to our hope in this. He says, we do not know what to pray for as we ought to know. But because of our sinful shortcomings, the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and we should be so thankful for when we do not know what to pray for, He does. And He prays for us, even with groans that no one can understand. And though we can't and wouldn't understand it, it is a perfect prayer. Your prayers may be less than ideal. You may falter. But the Holy Spirit in you is perfect for you, for your sake. For Him, it's easy, and it is the work that He desires to do in and for you. Your prayer life is directly tied into your salvation and your faith. It's not that prayer will save you, only Jesus does that, but your daily lives are filled with sin and dread and doubt, and yet God in Jesus Christ has come into your flesh to be perfect for you, for your sake. What you cannot pray, the Spirit prays. What you cannot do perfectly, Jesus has done. And where you fail, Jesus forgives. This is why the cross must be the center of our lives. Whether it be in our works or in our prayers, the cross shows the deep mercy of God for you as Jesus bore your sins on the cross. And through the cross, we approach God in confidence that He has redeemed us and has saved us from our sin and wants to hear from us. Through the cross, we have access to the Father and His mercy through His Son. Through the cross, we find the comfort and peace of God in Christ Jesus. We find all that we can bring in our things. We find all of the things that we bring to our God through the cross, where God wrestled with Jacob, and we see that Jesus wrestled with the devil, and He won. We can wrestle with God, demanding He hear our prayer because He promised to do so. Through the cross, we find that we have been made righteous, and so we can be at peace with God forever. God commands that we pray so that we would speak to Him our needs, but He doesn't just abandon us like a dad who throws his kid into the deep end of the pool and turns his back and hopes that he figures it out. Instead, God comes to you and He holds you and He teaches you and He prays for you and He molds you and He forms you and He will intercede wherever it is that you cannot do prayer rightly. He will forgive your sins and then He will also do what is right for you. That is His promise. That is His encouragement. Be diligent in prayer, but trust more that your God knows what you need before you even open your mouth. And that He is on your side. He will do all that you need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.